I do appreciate you coming and being here tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We have been preaching on a thought, a theme, or even a truth about the coming of the Lord. And so tonight we want to bring you another one concerning that thought. The next event on God's calendar is called the rapture. And we see that out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'll be preaching on that on Sunday. But before the rapture, and there's going to be some signs, or there's going to be some truth about the times or the latter days or the last days. And we've talked about those on Sunday. We talked about the days of Noah. We talked about the days of Lot. We talked about the days of self. We talked about the days of teachers. How all this is going to be in the last days, in the latter days before Jesus comes. Tonight I want to talk about another sign or another truth tonight. And I called it the church preparing for the Antichrist. You see, because that's what the world's next event will be, is the Antichrist will come on the scene. That's the next event, is this one world ruler, this one world government, this one world religion. And tonight, for the world, not the law, not the saved, the saved's looking for the rapture. And so we're going to meet the Lord in the air. But the world tonight is waiting and looking for the Antichrist. And they know that. They're looking for it. There's already plans moving toward it. Matter of fact, there is a major meeting in December, and it's over climate control, and all of the major powers of nations are coming together, with the Pope and Obama being the leaders of having a ratification concerning this climate control. And they're going to find themselves all on the same page, working the same way, doing the same thing. And so I think, as I've been reading, that this may be a beginning of a direction of a one-world mindset. And so we're looking to that. The world is, next event will be the Antichrist. And tonight, I believe the church is preparing for the Antichrist. And I'm going to show that tonight to you. I know it's an alarming title. You wouldn't think in a million years that the church is preparing for the Antichrist. You'd think the church is preparing for Christ. But the church is going to be in such a way, in a spiritual way, when the Antichrist comes, that the church that is not the one who met him in the air, but the church that is left behind, is already prepared for him. It's already together. It's already put together. Don't be a fool tonight to think that everybody who says Jesus is their Lord is Christian. And don't think tonight that everything that has on the church sign that says church is the church. And so the church is going to move in the air, but there's going to be another church right now preparing for the Antichrist now. I want to preach on that. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus here tonight. Or as I bow my heart, bow my head. Father, I know tonight, Lord, that we need you. Lord, I need you to help me tonight. Lord, I need help in the way of thinking, in the way of presenting, the way of giving. Lord, we need help tonight, Father, in the way of understanding and receiving. Father, have taken what's been we said tonight, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Father, help us not just to throw these things away. God, help us not to just say it was another message and another Wednesday night, Lord, and then move on and God not gain from this. I pray you'll save the lost tonight. I pray, God, you'll change the saved. I pray, God, you'll help us tonight in this way. We love you and appreciate you. We thank you, Lord. We're about to read your word. God, we're about to read the very word of God. And tonight I pray that you'll make an impression on our hearts. God, that the word tonight, God, will not go unheard. And Father, that we would be more of doers than of hearers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter
times. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. Nothing be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. You may be seated. Tonight, the church, as you may see it in 2016, tonight has tares within the church, has wheat within the church. Within the church tonight, there's goats and there is sheep. Tonight, you don't know who's saved and who's not saved. Tonight, we've got hundreds and thousands of, if not millions of churches all over the world tonight. They all stand under one round church tonight. And yet, there's coming a time, and there is a time right now, when the church tonight, the Laodicean church, I might say, the people's church, tonight is preparing themselves for the Antichrist. And so tonight I want to show you a few things concerning that out of these passages. The first thing I want you to notice tonight, that it is a spiritual matter. Tonight, to get prepared for the Antichrist, the church has to understand that this is a spiritual matter. We see that it's a spiritual matter because in chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." We don't hardly find that phrase anywhere else in the Scripture. The Spirit speaketh. So tonight we're going to talk about spiritual things because that's what the text is talking about. Spiritual things. So in a spiritual way tonight, the church that is not really the church, or the church that is so-called the church, or the church that is gathering under the name of church, they're really preparing themselves for the Antichrist. But spiritually speaking, that's the case tonight. And now on the outward, you may not see it. On the physical, you may not notice it. On the way of words or the way of actions or behaviors, you may not identify it. But in a spiritual sense tonight, that is very true. I'm going to show it to you tonight. Number one, I want you to notice, not is it a spiritual matter, because the Spirit speaketh, that no man is speaking in verse 4. So this is not man's theology, it's not man's understanding, it's not man's revelation, and it's not man's interpretation. Tonight's completely 100% God's. The Spirit of God tonight. It's not an angel speaking here. It's not any other creation speaking here. The Spirit of God is speaking. And if anybody knows anything about the spiritual world, it would be the Spirit of God. If anybody knows anything about the Holy Spirit, it would be the Holy Spirit Himself. If anybody knows anything tonight about the Antichrist tonight, the Holy Spirit would be. Have you noticed tonight that God said that no man knows the hour or the day of the Son of Man's coming? It says, He said, not angels, and then in Luke He says, not the Son of Man, but He did not say the Spirit didn't know. He didn't say that. He said the Father knows, but He didn't say the Holy Ghost of God didn't know. He didn't say He did know. But I'm just assuming tonight the Holy Ghost of God would know. I believe He would know because He's speaking expressly right here. He's saying that, listen, in the latter times, in the last days, in the days of the Antichrist, of the days before the Antichrist, the days prior to the Antichrist, the days right before the rapture, and right before the days when the Antichrist will stand up and pronounce Him to be Himself, friend, not only God, that will happen in 3.5 years, but that He is the emperor, or He is the president, or He is in charge. We find the Spirit of God says that the Spirit speaketh these things. It's a spiritual matter tonight. Don't get off. I've got to get you to think tonight in a spiritual way. Number two, it is a spiritual maneuver. In order for this church or this church that is not the church, but the church that is so-called church, in order for it to be preparing itself for the Antichrist, there has to be some spiritual maneuvers going on in that church or in those people. I want you to notice our text tells us that. He says, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You see seducing spirits, which is evil spirits. You see doctrines of devils. It's very clear in the Scripture tonight of what we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual maneuvers. We're talking about tonight that the devil is going to use false faith tonight in order to prepare the false church for the Antichrist. He's going to use a false faith. See, a false faith tonight is a faith that departs from the faith. That's a false faith. Tonight, a true faith is identified in Hebrews chapter 10. I don't turn there. I'll do that for you. Now, listen to the true faith, the saving faith. The Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. Not departing from the faith, but live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Tonight, a saving faith will not depart from the faith. A saving faith will not leave its faith. A saving faith will always hold to the faith. The saving faith is those that live by faith. Tonight, those who depart from the faith are those who have been used by the devil as a false faith. Amen. They have a false profession. They have a false membership. And they got a false commitment. You and I in this church have seen many, many, many come by. Many have prayed a prayer. Many have said that they want to be part of this membership. Many have joined in saying that they know God and know the Lord. And many have made commitments along the way. And today they have departed not only from this church, they've departed from the Bible, they've departed from God, and they departed from the family that loves them, amen. And today they're out in the world just like they were. The Bible calls those kind of people like a hog back to the mire and a dog back to the vomit. They never were saved, they never had faith. You can't depart from God's faith as a Christian. You cannot leave and abandon the faith of God. You cannot leave God and be born again. It's impossible to do that. And so we find the church in the days before the rapture and right before the Antichrist comes and establishes himself as a kingdom in which he's going to rule. You'll see amongst the church many, many, many so-called Christians departing from the faith. Why? Oh, because it's a spiritual maneuver. They were placed with a false faith from the beginning. They didn't have anything at all. We say it sometimes like this. They made a profession, but they didn't have a possession. Friend, you find that these men, these women, these boys and girls, they have come, but they've abandoned the faith. They have removed of the faith, and they have withdrawn themselves from the faith. They say to us today, you know, they have just changed their mind. Oh, no, you don't change your mind with faith today. Faith comes by hearing, hearing of the Word of God. Unless you change the Word of God, you can't change your faith. Amen! Because if you get the faith from the Word of God, it will be constant because the Word of God is settled in heaven and there's no change with that. So tonight, it's very clear with you and I that understand that before rapture takes place and before the Antichrist comes, there's going to be a spiritual maneuvering going on, and it will cause people to be as if they have faith, but they left. I hear this all the time. Brother Larry, they said they love God. They say they know Christ. They went to church for some years, and now they went out into the world, and now they went back to who they used to be. Are they saved or are they not saved? I don't know their heart. I can know their fruit. And I can test the fruit, and I can know their works, and by that we know that they don't know God. According to the Scripture. I'm talking about in the last days, this is going to be tons of people. Hundreds and thousands of people that were just going to depart from the faith. That's a spiritual maneuver. See, they're preparing for the Antichrist. Number two, not only will there be a false faith that the devil will use, but the devil will use a false spirit. He says there in verse 1, giving heed to seducing spirits. You see, these people tonight that will depart from the faith, they won't depart from the faith because they got mad at the preacher. They won't depart from the faith because they got mad at a member. They won't depart from the faith because they come under some tragedy of life, or they come under some difficulty or situation and they can't understand it all. So they get frustrated and get aggravated, and they say they get mad with God. Friend, you don't depart from the faith that way. To get apart from the faith today is by giving heed to seducing spirits. In other words, tonight, there are some things that you're allowing in your life. There are some things that you are allowing your mind to look upon. And the word seducing would mean tonight something that you are minding, that you're giving over to. You're adhering to the evil spirits. You are given over to the evil spirits. Look, in 1 John, I turn there, in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 1. Well, listen to this. This is pretty amazing what God has said here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Beloved," talking to Christians, "believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God." So tonight, we're just not to take every spirit that comes through, every spirit that gets at church, every spirit that a minister may have, every spirit that somebody may say they've got tonight. Hey, we're not just to take all that. We're not saying, "Oh yes, everybody's a lover of God." Oh, that's not true. Tonight, in the last days, you're going to find many will be seduced by these evil spirits tonight. We find in chapter 4, verse 1, "'Tis because many false prophets were come out of the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world." What is the Bible saying tonight? The Bible saying there's coming a time before the rapture and before the Antichrist comes, that there will be Antichrist, or the spirit of Antichrist, amongst us. It will be in the church, amen. It will be amongst those people who say they know God tonight. And why? What happens to them? Well, they depart from the faith. How come? Because they give heed. In other words, tonight, the religions they're listening to. I don't understand tonight how the spirit of the Antichrist is those who don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe Jesus is God. Now you take tonight the religions that don't believe that Jesus is God. Tonight, do I need to just mention them to you? I mean, can I just say that Islam tonight don't believe that Jesus is God? And according to the Scripture, you need to try the spirit, so the spirit of Islam is an Antichrist? Buddhism, Hinduism, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Seventh-day Adventist, tonight. We can go on and on and on. And what happens to people tonight who are not grounded in the faith, who are not saved, really? They made a profession of faith. They made a mental ascent toward God. They had a feeling one day that they went to the Lord. They did something tonight because somebody else did it. But they really, truly didn't repent and receive Christ as their Savior. Next thing you know, some Mormon knocks on their door. Some Jehovah's Witness knocks on their door. Or some Muslim comes to their house or meets them there and starts telling about the religion. And they give heed to that seducing spirit. And friend, they wonder what happened. I tell you what happened. You never had God. Because, friend, the Bible says you need to try the spirits to see the whether of God or not. And every spirit tonight that does not believe that Jesus is God is the spirit of the Antichrist. I don't know about you. I've got enough trouble with the devil tonight to allow somebody to come in my house tonight without the doctrine of Christ. I mean, be careful who you let in your home. You say, "I'm just trying to be friendly." Well, you're going to be friendly to the devil. He's not going to be friendly to you. He'll try to capture your wife, I promise you. And he'll try to capture your children. You'll be the last one as a man tonight to get covered. Oh, but he'll be stretching for you. Folks, can I say tonight he'll be using a false spirit. He'll be ministers tonight, not believing Jesus is not God tonight. people on the radio, you're listening to the radio, you're listening to those people who are saying this, that, and the other, and tonight you're taking what they're saying and you're listening to what they're saying. And friend, if you're not careful tonight, you'll just find yourself giving heed to seducing spirits, because not everybody on the radio or TV tonight believes that Jesus is God. Oh, it just aggravates me tonight when somebody says, oh, listen, this one here and this one here, they say such good things, but man, they have the spirit of the Antichrist. You're going to get caught. I notice people believing not that Jesus is God. And we find tonight, right before Jesus, before we meet the Lord in the air, before the Antichrist steps up on the scene, there will be a spiritual matter, but there will be a spiritual maneuvering. And the devil will use false faith. He will use false spirits. Tonight, thirdly, he will use false doctrines. He says, and doctrines of devils. Tonight, this Word of God in which we have in our hand is Christ's doctrine. You say, well, what's so about Christ's doctrine that's so important? Well, I tell you, 2 John chapter 9, and I'll turn there for you. It says, whosoever transgresseth or abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Let me read that again. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. This way we have the doctrine of devils, we got the doctrine of Christ. In the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So tonight, it's so important to understand that in the last days, latter times, that there's going to be a spiritual movement across this world with doctrines. The doctrines of devils. Can I say to you tonight, Quran is a doctrine of the devil. They don't believe Jesus is God. They don't believe Jesus at all is who He says that He is, so how can they have the doctrine of Christ? The Bible says if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, you have not God. They can have the moon God all they want tonight. They can do whatever they want, please, and they can bow down all they want to bow down to. But friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, without the doctrine of Christ, friend, you've been duped and deceived by the devil on these doctrines. You've got the Buddhist, you've got the Hindu, you've got Catholicism tonight. You've got Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness. They all got their own Bible. They all got their own book. Well, listen, friend, they think they're fancy and free right now. They think they know all the answers and got all the answers. But the bottom line is they got to understand that the Word of God tonight, the book that I'm speaking of tonight, is a book tonight that says of itself that it's the doctrines of Christ. And if you don't have the doctrine of Christ, then you don't have God tonight. That means that your father's the devil. And we're going to find in our times this happening now when this old King James Version Bible is hated. This King James Version Bible is not liked. Tonight it's not in many churches. It's not in many places tonight called church. On every radio station that I hear of and every TV evangelist that I know of, they don't preach out of this Bible. You hardly find this Bible preached anymore. You know what I say to that? They don't have a Bible. There's only one Bible tonight. And if you want to compare it, then compare it yourself tonight. But I tell you tonight, this is God's Word. It is the doctrine of Christ. And if you don't have the doctrine of Christ tonight, you don't even have God. So we're in a day where the church or the so-called church is preparing themselves for the Antichrist through false doctrine, through false faith, and false spirits. Do y'all see that? That's so clear to me tonight. I've never looked at it from this fashion. Oh, but it's so clear to me. We understand tonight that the devil is going to use false men and women. He says in verse 2 in our chapter, he says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The Bible talks about here on this false men is that they're going to have false words, speaking lies. Tonight, can I just say to you that every man that's behind a pulpit don't tell the truth? Can I tell you, everyone behind a mic with a Bible in his hand is not honest? Can I tell you tonight, every man that's been a so-called preacher all these years, tonight doesn't mean, because you talk to somebody, well, they've been in the ministry for 40 years, so you're thinking, well, man, they must be real. But friend, that don't make them real. There's coming a day, and the day is now, amongst church tonight, we're talking about spiritual things. Now, don't miss that. Amongst spiritual things tonight, there's going to be a tremendous amount of false words given. How you can feel good about yourself, and how everything's okay, and everything's going to be all right, and just go to the ATM and pray, and $100 bill come flying out, and you know, as you're driving down the road and need gas, just ask God to fill your tank up. He will. That's just stupid stuff. That's dumb stuff tonight. That's words that are false, and the devil will use those false words. I'll tell you something else tonight. He'll have false promises, because that's what lies are. Lies are false promises tonight. Many tell you that you have eternal life. Nobody has the ability nor the authority to tell anybody they have eternal life. You'll not ever catch me telling anybody, listen, if you do this, you do that, you'll have eternal life. Hey, man, I don't know, and I'm not the giver, and I'm not the authority of it. I know what the Word of God says, how do you get eternal life. But whether you did that in your heart or not, I have no idea. So I can't claim that you are a Christian. Only you can claim that. But friend, false promises tonight. You're going to heaven no matter what. Hey, friend, the Pope has said tonight that the Bible and the Quran is the same book. He has said tonight that the Bible that Jesus and God and Muhammad are equal. He said tonight, friend, to others out there, that everybody's trying to get to heaven, they're just doing it their own way. That is false promises. And friend, you're going to find this to get a bit bigger and larger in the day before the Antichrist comes, and the church today is preparing themselves just for Him. We find tonight false facts. Now you say, Brother Larry, how can somebody that you're talking about can say these things? I mean, how can people with a Bible in their hand, or a so-called Bible in their hand, or even a Quran or whatever book they have, and they stand up under the disguise of God, and God representing purity and light and honesty and holiness, how in the world can they get up and just tell us a flat, low-down lie? How can somebody honestly come and tell us that in a way of a promise that if we believe hard enough that God will heal us of cancer? How can they do that? How can they tell us if you give your heart to Jesus that you'll be prosperous, you'll be successful, and you'll get rich? How can they tell us? How can they do that? Well, it tells us right here, this people, is that their conscience is seared. They're seared with a hot iron. Now, what that means tonight, that means that their conscience, and tonight all of us have conscience, and even before we were saved tonight, when you did wrong, you kind of felt like you did wrong. I mean, listen, when you did something you know wasn't right, and you kind of feel bad about it, now you're going to do it again. But you still had a conscience, you still had some sort of kind of like, man, I couldn't do that. I mean, even lost people tonight have manners. I mean, even lost people don't go out and rob banks. You know, they got some morals about them. So there's a consciousness about all of us tonight. But friend, when you get into the spiritual realm and you have the boldness and the audacity to stand up under God and His authority and in the name of Jesus, and you speak the things of lies and hypocrisy, the only answer to that is that your conscience is dead. That's what a searing does. A searing like cauterizes. You understand what cauterizing is, right? I mean, you have some kind of blood flow or something like that, it cauterizes and stops it. It deadens it. And that's what happens. It's another word for branding. When they brand them, friend, whatever's branded is dead. I mean, in other words, friend, it's hard. And that man or that woman who's standing up telling bold-faced lies in a spiritual realm, see, most people don't know their lies because they're not spiritual. Most people in churches today, they just hear the 30-minute sermonette. and they go home like they've done did something. And friend, they can't tell you anything that he said. They can't tell you the scripture he preached from. You ask them a couple of questions. They won't know the very context of what he's saying. And they learn nothing. And they never grow. And they just keep on going to good church and going to church and going to church. Never changing. Never become anything that God has. And friend, they don't know, have a clue about what God's Word says because they're not encouraged to read it. They're not encouraged to live it. They're not encouraged to believe it. They're not encouraged to do something with it. And so they live their whole entire life going to church. And friend, and the conscience of the preacher who they might have up there, who's telling them lies and false promises and things of that nature, they don't get it. They can't catch it. They can't hear it. They can't see it. They're blind. They're deaf. And yet they say they're saved. Because their conscience is here. It's deadened. It's come to the place where it's hard. I mean, they have no feeling. They can look in your face and say, and they know that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And yet they look at you and say that everybody's going to heaven and trying to get there their own way. How can you do that? The only way you can do that spiritually is if your conscience has been seared. There's no guilt, there's no shame, there's no hurt. And the devil tonight is using false men and women to prepare the church for the Antichrist. False spirits, false doctrine, false faith. Can I say here, secondly, thirdly tonight, not only is there, it's a spiritual matter and a spiritual maneuvering going on, but I notice there's a spiritual mark. There's two spiritual marks that I've noticed in this Scripture here tonight. Marrying and meats. Now this is interesting to me. Remember now, this ain't physical. This is spiritual. And yet, there are physical marks that reveal the spiritual condition. Marriage. And we go to days of Noah. Y'all remember about in the days of Noah what I said about marriage? I said in the days of Noah it was marrying and giving in marriage. Remember I said about marriage that it was like a contract, like a business? It wasn't based upon love. It was based upon the woman would look at the man and say, okay, he makes big money. He provides home. He provides security. He provides the paying the bills. And so that's what I get from him. And so that's a pretty good. I don't care if he's uglier than sin. Then the guy sees her and says, well, you know, she can cook and she can clean and she can make the house pretty and all that kind of stuff. And so there's some benefits for her and there's some benefits for him. And so they add it all up and they say, okay, let's just put this together. And that's my part. That's your part. And let's just get it together. And sexual, of course, is involved in that. And so they come together. They don't have a home. They got a house they live in. And they don't come together because of love, because that's what God has put together. Nor what God has sent each other to each one another. No, they found each other in a bar. They found each other in school. They found each other wherever they found it, work. And so they come together not based upon love, but based upon a business decision. That's what it says in Days of Noah. But here on the other end, it's saying tonight that there's coming a time before the rapture and before the Antichrist comes that there will be a sense and an attitude of forbidding marriage. We're here, folks. So there's the business-like marriage and then there's the forbidding of marriage. I've heard Christians tonight. I've heard so-called Christians tonight. I never heard anybody who is a Bible thumper and a church goer and a Christ server say this, but I have seen people who've been in church for a long time say this. They said, if I ever get divorced, I'll never get married again. That's what they said. I also heard so-called Christians say that I don't see anything wrong with just living together. I've heard this. I've heard it before. I hear Christians say this too, or so-called Christians say this. Listen to the younger people who are not married. Man, don't get married. It ain't what you think it is. Don't do it. So now our younger people, our people that are coming up who wants to do right and wants to have a family and wants to find one that they can love and they can live together and they can worship God together. Now those around them are saying, don't do that. Don't do that. I found some stats that are remarkable concerning our world today, concerning marriage. You know, tonight, again, we're in a spiritual matter. Cohabitation has increased 900% in 50 years. Forbidden to marry. 7.8 million couples are living together, compared to 2.9 million in 1996. That's a lot. Two-thirds of all couples that shared a home before they get married. Two-thirds. Of every home that you see out here today, they're living together, they're not married. 27% of Americans don't disapprove of it. 73% of Americans approve of living together. 73%. They say that there's about 92% of Americans that say they're Christian. Out of the 92% of the Americans say they're Christian, 73% of them say living together is okay. Does that sound something funny to you? It's not like they're getting prepared for the Antichrist. Half of women who are 15 to 44, their first union, talking about the first time they get together with a man, was cohabitation. Half of every woman that gets with a man lived together. Less than 25% of first unions were married. Instead of marriage, people are moving in together as a first union. This is what this one guy said. He said, it's kind of a great phenomenon now. It's just the way things are. First unions tonight, 48% of them, of women, cohabitate. In 2002, there were 43%. 1995, there were 34%, so you can see the rise. 43% of whites cohabitate, 57% of Hispanics cohabitate, and 39% of blacks cohabitate. Cohabitation is a common part of family formation, it says, in the U.S. today. And it serves both as a step toward marriage and an alternate to marriage. Folks, that's the mindset of marriage today in America. And the Bible says in the last times before Jesus raptures the church and before the Antichrist steps on the scene that there will be a mark of forbidding of marriage. If you don't see that tonight, you just don't want to see it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I'll turn there for you real quickly. The Bible says concerning marriage. Now listen to what God says about marriage. He says, now concerning the things whereof He wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Did you know that, guys? It's good. You probably say, oh, it's bad. It's good. If you're not married, that woman in which you have belongs to someone else, not you. It's a private property that you're touching. You're invading her privacy. Can I say, if you're not married tonight and you're touching one another, you're trespassing? Amen, Brother Larry. That's right. If the Bible says it's not good that a man not touch a woman, God is saying that you ought to keep your hands to yourself. We don't feel like that no more today. I see people not married. They're holding hands. They're hugging each other. They're kissing each other and all that kind of stuff. You say, well, that's just part of the American way, but it's not part of the Bible way. You say, brother, it's just part of human nature, you know. I just have that within me, and she has that within her, you. And, you know, and so what you're saying is God's Word just has no meaning no more. Because our flesh and our feelings are more powerful and more important than what God had to say. God said it's not good. And why would you as a Christian tonight want to do something that God said is not good? I don't get that thinking. You say, Brother Larry, did you do that when you was growing up? No, I wasn't a Christian until I was age 25. But that doesn't exempt the Word of God tonight. See, many people say, well, Brother Larry, you didn't do that when you was growing up. Yeah, but the Word of God was then. Nobody's taught me like I'm teaching you. And so tonight, I was ignorant of it. Tonight, we got to stop being ignorant of these things. That's why today in growing up, and people raising up their children and grandchildren, and when you say to a woman, you say to a man, listen, you don't let no man touch you, you don't kiss nobody, you don't hug nobody, you don't do anything until you get married. They look at you like you're crazy. The fact of the matter is, friend, if any of us tonight, I don't know if any of us were saved when we got married. I don't know, was anybody saved when y'all got married? You don't hardly find that anymore. You don't find hardly nobody get. You were saved when you got married. Now you're married and you got saved later. But then we go all the way back. And if you were saved and you applied that scripture to the one you're married to today, I'm not so sure you'd be married. Think about it. Think about it. If the truth is known, the majority of people in this room were fornicators when you got married. God's just right. I could preach on that for a little while. I mean, that's not my message. I don't know how I got off on that deal. But let's get back. You got me off track. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. That's one. That's one. One wife. Not two. One. Not one at a time either. And let every woman have her own husband. And let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. That's marriage. They say don't get married. You know why they say don't get married? Because they're not going to do this. It's a spiritual matter. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so we find tonight that in this thought about the rapture and the Antichrist and the preparing for it, and so today we've got church members. It's okay to live together, and it's okay to touch one another. That's why tonight, in this church, I don't want no men hugging women. I don't want no women hugging men. The closest you are to get to a man that's not your husband is his hand that's reached out, about 2 feet away. Amen? Now, I got ridiculed over that years ago. Years ago. And the funny people who ridiculed over that is the ones who left this church and committed adultery. I've seen so many times in churches that people come in, they start smooching on each other. Next thing you know, they left the church and they got married. And many occasions, the pastor done ran off with somebody in the church because they done hugged way too much in the church. It's just fact tonight. Amen? You got your own wife, and you got your own husband, and you need to take care of business. Amen? You got your own business, make sure your business is dealt with. And this thought tonight, I got to get off this subject. I got to get off. I got to go on. But don't think tonight with the attitude is this, if I don't take care of my man, somebody else will. That's a wicked statement out of hell. For a child of God will never look to that. If you're a woman of God tonight, you'll never look to this. Say one more thing and I get off of it. For you women or for you men who have a man and you have a woman at home and y'all married, and you go around always, whether the man or the woman, always jacking the jaw by saying, you're messing around on me, you're fooling around on me, you're fooling around on me, stop it! You're allowing the devil to come into your home. You need to quit right now. That is not the way a Christian family operates. Amen? If that man is committing adultery, if that woman's committing adultery, it shall and it will be found out, and they got to stand before God on that. But you don't go around, because 99% of the time, let me say it like this, and I know maybe 99 is real high, but maybe 95% of the time, the one is pointing their finger and bumping their gums, saying that the other one's cheating on them, and they're doing the cheating. Hey, is that right? I'm just saying tonight, when God, you got your own husband, you got your own wife, y'all need to come together on that, on this thing right here, because we're living in a day right now when they're forbidden to marry, and marriage today is just like nothing. It's just a business transaction. You that are Christians tonight, you need to hold on to your Christian man and Christian wife. Hold on tight, get them close, and tell them you're mine and I'm yours. And ain't nobody else between us. But you do something different because what you've been doing ain't been working. It don't at all help when you accuse and then you keep on going with them. That's the dumbest thing I've ever known. You're cheating, but 10 years later, you're still with them. You're cheating, 20 minutes, 20 hours, 20 years later. You're cheating. But dear God! If he's really cheating, how much dumber are you going to be with it? Does that make sense to you? It don't make sense to me at all. All right. Y'all done got me off here. All right, marriage is the first mark. Let's get back in the Bible. That was on opinions I was preaching again. Number two is meats. Meats. The Bible says there in verse 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. That's the society in which we're going to be living in when we're raptured and when the Antichrist comes. It's a spiritual thing now. Let me say how it is. The animal rights people say eating meat is about suffering and pain. The animal rights say causes environmental destruction. Animal rights say damages human health. And the animal rights say it contributes to global hunger. Eating meat does. Those that are the UN, that's a climate change agency, it said the best thing people can do is to halt global warming, is to turn into a vegetarian. That's what the UN says. The UN, man, is strong, powerful. So they're thinking global warming is all because we eat meat. The animal rights are all bent out of shape because they say it contributes to global hunger. You know, I don't have too much sympathy for these tree huggers. I really don't. And these rock kissers. I don't have no sympathy for those people. They're just absolutely ignorant. To make statements such as this tonight, that eating meat causes global warming, and eating meat contributes to global hunger, is the dumbest thing. But to tell you something tonight, this animal rights is a most powerful, powerful agency. UN tonight, you ain't going to beat them. So we're talking about some agencies tonight We're talking about some group of people tonight. They're all up in Washington. And Obama and his crowd has sold out to them. So you cannot change their mind anyway. What religions tonight are geared to being vegetarians? Judaism. Christianity. The cults. Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormonism. Seventh-day Adventists. Catholicism, don't eat meat on Fridays. Well, they used to not. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, all geared their people to vegetarian. Talking about spiritual things now. So what does God say concerning what these other people say is a little opposite? It says in verse 3, it says, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Let me tell you about meat for just a minute, according to what God has to say. Number one, God created meat. That's what He created. He created meat that you receive it. That word receive means eat. So God created meat so that you can eat meat. And He said, if you eat meat and it's going to be well received, it's because you're going to pray for it. Now, if you don't pray before you eat, well then, friend, you're eating against God. And if I was God and you didn't pray before you ate, that'd be the last time you ate. And verse 4 says, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, and if it be received with thanksgiving. So tonight, all I'm saying is there, in verse 3 it says, of them which believe and know the truth. So God created meat. God said, I create meat so that you eat it. And if you eat it by praying, by with thanksgiving of it, thanking God for it. He said, now to those that believe and know the truth, this is the case. But those who don't believe, it's not the case. Those who don't know the truth, it's not the case. Animal rights and UN agencies, they're not believers. They're not knowing the truth. Because the truth is that God said that meat is good. That's what He said in verse 4. He said it's not to be refused. In verse 4. He said that it is set apart. There in verse 5, He sanctified it. And He sanctified it by the Word of God and by prayer. I'm not talking tonight about the physical. I'm not talking about what they say about eating pork does. I'm talking about the spiritual. From the spiritual perspective, you and I can eat meat with thanksgiving. And that meat has been sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. All that saying is this. We're not talking about nutrition. We're not talking about whether it's good for you or not. And we're not talking about whether it makes you fat or makes you skinny. We're talking about in a spiritual sense tonight. There's not anything that God created that we can't eat that will make us less lovers of God. Now, if you choose not to eat pork, well, bless your heart. If you choose not to eat red meat and you want to be a vegetarian, well, hallelujah, glory to God. That's your choice. But that don't make you more spiritual. And that don't make you more closer to God. Now, if I choose to eat a big old fat steak, that don't make me more spiritual neither, but don't make me less spiritual. That's what it's teaching tonight. Does that make sense? We're not going to go out here tonight and say, hey, listen, friend, if you eat pork, you're a heathen. No, that's not true, because even God said that it is good and not to refuse it. Amen? So we find tonight, and we're talking about a spiritual sense now. He said the Word of God gives the separation of it. And then by prayer and receiving it. Now turn your Bibles here quickly. I'm almost closing, Brother Keith. I have not said that tonight. I got to watch myself when Brother Keith is here. He keeps up with that. Mark chapter 7. Let's turn here and I want to read this passage and then we'll close. Mark chapter 7. The Bible says, And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Now, Jesus is speaking. He says, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Talking about spiritual things now. He says, but the things which come out of him, those they that are defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. He said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from you without entereth into the man, it cannot defile the man? Because he entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, and purging all meat. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. And from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What is he saying? He's saying the world is saying, don't eat meat, don't eat meat, don't eat meat, don't eat meat, don't eat meat. It's causing global warming. Don't eat meat, don't eat meat. People are hungering everywhere because you're eating meat. Don't eat meat, don't eat, because it's cruel and it hurts the animals. And they got all these reasons. And 70% of the world today is backing off of meat. God said, eat! I created it for you. Just eat it with thanksgiving. I sanctified it in the Word of God. Now, if you don't want it, that's fine. You don't have to eat it. But man, don't tell me that don't eat meat because it's doing all these things. God said, listen, spiritually speaking, it's not what defiles a man. It's the heart and what comes out of the man that defiles him. So speaking spiritually tonight, eating meat or not eating meat, don't save you and don't make you more of a Christian. I hope you understand that. We don't have time, but in Romans chapter 14, I encourage you to look in that chapter and read. You'll find that if somebody who don't eat pork, you ask them to come to your house and you feed them pork. That's not the right thing to do. The Bible teaches that's wrong. You don't stumble your brother by doing that. If somebody's offended with you doing whatever you're doing, you stop what you're doing. So Romans chapter 14 gives us that thought. Lastly tonight, it's not about meat tonight, it's about Jesus. Can I say tonight, the church, or the so-called church, is getting prepared for the Antichrist. Jesus ate meat, he ate fish, and he ate lamb. I guess he is the contributor of the global warming, the global hunger. Jesus was in his day. How silly. Well, tonight I hope you saw that the preparing of the Antichrist. Now, can you just imagine now when somebody comes on the scene and he says he's Christ, and he does a miracle or two. He's got a bunch of power. He's done destroy three nations, and seven nations are with him and is following him, and he makes pacts with everybody and all this stuff. All this has already been ingrained into their lives. I've always wondered, how is America going to get duped into this one world government? Tonight, we're already duped. The church is horrible in staying with the Word. Oh, God, help us tonight. Help us, so help us. As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. Boy, is it time for you to be saved tonight? I hope that it will be. Well, I don't know how you can hear these messages about how the days are going to be before the rapture and still continue. I don't understand tonight how you as a Christian don't come under conviction about how you're living or the lack of living. Oh, God, help us tonight to be more sensitive, be more flexible, pliable. God may enter into our hearts and speak to us very clearly. Well, tonight, don't be part of that marriage crowd abstaining from marriage. Don't be part of that
proud of abstaining from meat. Now, if you want to, that's fine. If it's a health reason, if you're allergy, you have allergies, or it causes, you have some sort of blood pressure or cholesterol issues, hey, no doubt, no doubt. Do whatever you have to do in order to make that better. But don't cause it. Don't say it's a spiritual thing. But the world's going to say it is. Help us tonight. If you need to come, you come. Just cry out to the Father tonight. Cry out to God. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to change you. Ask Him to help you tonight as I pray. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus, and I thank You, Lord, for just the Word of God again. God, boy, the latter times, Father, are really going to be noticeable, Lord, in the ways of faith, the departing of faith, and the seducing of spirits, and the doctrines of devils, Lord, and meats and marrying.